Welcome to episode 4 of the Rattlercast. Today, I interviewed the amazing Stuart Clark.
Stuart Clark, man about town, technology guy, and let's face it, one of the greatest civil engagers, frankly, in the history of the world. Tell me, Stuart Clark, how do you get up in the morning? What gives you that little pep to, I'm up, I'm going, I'm getting going?
Well, I'd have to say, you know, with such an introduction like that, I'm going to have to think about that a moment. Perhaps I would normally say it's probably a 15-pound cat landing on me. That may be a part, but...
The feline wake-up call. Works every time. That will give you the energy in the morning, won't it?
It'll give you the energy, possibly give you a hernia, too. But mainly it's... I always believe one should leave this ball of rock in a better place than one comes into it. So that's basically part of it. The last few years, there's been some exciting things happening in the city. And yeah, that's basically what, in a nutshell, what keeps me going.
You're an amazing human being. I just have to say that at the top of this, you are one of those people that other people just move out of the way for. Because you know what, Stuart Clark? You get things done. You're the guy who gets things done. And you know what? I appreciate that in you. I really do. Now, I need to tell our listeners, of course, you know who my listener is, my mom.
Yes.
That we are here in this amazingly plush, luxuriant, and dare I say, almost nouveau riche studio here at the Unlab here in London. Now, this is a new addition to the Unlab, and the Unlab, as we know, is this font of bubbling ideas and energy that just makes me twitch. But tell me about how we got to the place where we have this amazing studio to record in.
Well, one of our founding members, member of the board, Bill Dees, who is a big, fairly frequent podcaster, this is one of his brainchilds. He wanted to come in, and part of the extension of the Unlab, where we talk about make, tech, and art, we thought there was seemed to be a demand for it. And basically, Bill, with the help of Adam Kaplan, one of the other board members, who also does video podcasts and videos, filmmaking, came up with the idea. And we realized these days, with the technology, you can construct a space fairly cheaply. And we've got, you know, all the various sound insulations. We've got 2 or 3 layers of sound insulation.
And you've got the people doing full body massages. And I got to tell you, that was a great way to start before I walked into the studio.
I'm so pleased you like that. It's a little hidden bonus we don't put on the website. But it certainly relaxes people for recording.
It does. You know what? I'm so relaxed, I could just literally, I'm almost in a liquid medium. I could just sort of dribble onto the floor.
Excellent.
And have a happy nap.
And this is why we have the trays ready. Yep. To catch all the dripping participants.
Your foresight is amazing.
We do try.
Frankly, you know who you remind me of? It's sort of this wonderful mix of sort of Abe Lincoln and his need to go out there and do things and help the community. And I'm also thinking that you're like... Well, frankly, I think you're like Scotty from Star Trek, because you're always in there fixing it, getting things done, building things up. Tell me, if we go way back to your beginnings, your early childhood, where do you think those two influences come from?
Well, there's definitely, in the case of Scotty, there's definitely some Scottish in my blood. So that's a natural thing right there, being the natural engineer type. Abe Lincoln, that would be a tough one. I haven't been shot at, so that's hopefully that's not coming.
Well, you know, I want you to be careful when you're out there in the streets, because if you, knock on wood, if you were ever shot, it would be a tragic loss to the world. Because I don't know if you know, but I was talking to Franck, a.k.a. Mike Batista, and he's running for the president of the world soon.
I heard
and
that.
Frankly, I support that bid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was thinking, and... Frankly, he whispered in my ear. He said, that Mr. Stuart Clark, he's going to be my go-to guy. He's going to be the guy that actually makes it happen. And if you were shot, I think millions of people around the world would weep. I would weep. I'm actually on the verge of weeping right now.
I see that right now. And to have such a support as from Mike, who I agree would make a fine president of the world. You know, I'm just speechless to hear that sort of endorsement.
Well, he's the kind of guy who should endorse you. Unlike Titus Ferguson, who is, frankly, terrifying to be around. Did I mention that he locked me in a closet for 2 days and threatened to do all kinds of terrible things unless I did that first podcast with him?
I knowing Titus, I can see that sometimes. It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
You might think he's friendly, but watch out for the bite. Watch out for that bite. So we were talking about your early childhood. So where were those influences that led you down this garden path of being a community involvement person and community energizer, somebody who tweets at a ferocious rate, and also, though, the technology, the building, the developing, where do those things come from?
I think a lot of it came from my family, my parents. Both were great believers in service, volunteering. I spent a lot of my teenage years volunteering in various causes, different things. And I just think, when the right set of circumstances come around and you have the right elements of people and causes, I think great things can happen.
I think you, Stuart Clark, are the right circumstance for me to make things happen. I think, frankly, it's just you. I think anywhere you go, things happen. And that's why people want to get together and serve with you. Let's take the body massage, for example. Those ladies quietly whispered in my ear, you know, we're here because Stuart Clark asked us to.
Well, that's just, I'm really pleased that the ladies think that way. You know, of course, for the benefit of your mother and my wife, you know, they did ask permission first from my wife.
Well, of course they would, because they respect you, as does everyone else, with such high regard that to think about crossing that line is just, well, it's like thinking about running a puppy over with a steamroller. It's just not something you do.
No, definitely not.
So you've been very heavily involved, I noticed recently, and for some time, in sort of the new civic engagement that's happening here in London, Ontario. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on this? Where does that come from? What do you see happening? And frankly, where are we going? Because I need your guidance.
Well, I have to say, it's not just me. You know, despite what.
Oh, Mike, come on now, you're being modest.
I know. I have to be a little bit modest too. But, you know, we do have many other people who are great support. And I have to admit, I met a lot of these people just probably the way you have and other people have, through Twitter, through social media. You get involved in one particular event, and then you meet some people of like mind. So I think we're on the verge in the city of some good things. I think we've got a good core group of people. There are events now, you know, almost every month, if not every other week. And there's been some times where, and I've seen people express it on Twitter, there's two events going on at the same time, and people are going, damn, I have to make a decision. That didn't happen 2 years ago in the city. So I think we're starting to see that engagement. I'm in my mid-40s myself, and I'm really impressed about...
Come on, you're lying to be popular. I thought you were 20.
I know, I wish.
You're such a fine-looking man.
It's all the working out I do. It must be. Yes, that's the ticket.
There you go.
There you go. But, it's the younger people, the ones just graduating out of school and wanting to be involved. I'm really impressed with that. I just didn't feel we had that before in the city. I think a lot of it is the technology, the social media. Without social media, I probably wouldn't have met a lot of the people, including all three of the people that you've previously interviewed in that way. And it's just, I feel like we're all part of a large team.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what is social media and what is its effect here in the city? Because, frankly, my manservant takes care of all my stuff for me. I don't do it myself, because I think if I try to use Twitter, I'd probably cut my arm off. So can you just walk us through what social media is and how it's being used in the city to get to some of these engagement things you're talking about?
Well, I think social media, it's basically a technology, you know, using the internet, allowing one to reach out, engage with people with either similar interests or people you're interested in. The big one you hear quite a bit now these days is indeed Twitter. And I liken Twitter to basically, people will ask me what the difference is. Facebook, I often say, I use for my friends and family. Twitter, I engage with people I want to hear about, what they're doing, their thoughts. Quite often, there'll be some common interests, but quite often, I may follow someone on Twitter who's most of the time, their ideas will be completely opposite of mine, because I always think it's good to get a good viewpoint. So all the major MPs, MPPs in town, whether I support their policies or not, I do try and follow them just to see what they're saying. But, going back to your original question, I think it's allowed people who wouldn't normally see each other or maybe engage because they're all diverse, leading their own lives. It allows them to find some common ground and help each other, whether it's technology, arts. You know, we all have interests in different things. I'm primarily a technical guy, but I also appreciate people who have passion for the arts and the importance of having, let's say, an arts community in town. You know, and we're seeing that this week with the Fringe Festival and things like that. So if I can offer my expertise in helping in one element, you know, whether it's helping fix a computer or helping, you know, in any way, then I feel like I'm playing my part too. It's the same thing when we have a logo design contest for the UNLAB. We're going to be working on it. And again, I'm not an artist. I can't draw. I can't draw to say.
Oh, come on now. You can do anything.
Well, I'd like to say that, but no. When it comes to the drawing, probably not.
People are shaking their heads at home going, maybe, that's just not
maybe,
true.
Maybe, but, you know, if you remember the old line, would you like to go home and see my etchings? It's never worked with me, I tell you.
You're a funny man. I'm glad you're alive.
Why, thank you.
Now, you've got a lot of interest. You talked about some of them just a little bit briefly. But I see that that you've been interested at one time in model building, photography, politics, science, and tech stuff. But I'm very curious about the model building, because that's really the hobby of kings. And of course, Stuart Clark, you are a king. So tell me, what were you building models? What kind of things did you work on?
Well, I originally started, this is all plastic model kit building. And I started when I was just a wee lad, way back when. And now
20 years ago,
at least, yes. We'll be polite and say 20. And then I found, like a lot of people, as I got older, I had a little bit more time. And and when I became a teenager, things like girls and cars tend to take precedence over such things.
Oh, they do. Much to my regret, they certainly do.
So when I was in my early 40s, and I know you don't believe that, but we'll just say that as a number. I realized I wanted to get back into it, and it's actually a fairly relaxing hobby. The ironic thing is I've been so busy with some of these other things the last month or two, I haven't really had time, but it's actually a hobby that a lot of people my age are coming back to. We find, you know, there is a couple of clubs in town, and I wasn't fairly heavily involved with one for a few years, and then due to other commitments, I haven't been able to. But you find there's an awful lot of people who, you know, the kids get older, they have a little bit of disposable income and time, and they get back into it. It's something completely different from what I do for my day job when I'm coding or doing technical things. It's actually very, very relaxing.
Let's talk about your day job. Your day job, frankly, you know, as I see it, and, you know, I'm from the outside, but I think I'm with the majority of people when I say this. Your day job is really inspiring everybody in the known universe. So tell me really, what is the day-to-day job that the genius Stuart Clark does?
Well, you know, one of course can't just say that. One must inspire, because people get jealous. So what I actually...
Nobody's jealous of you.
Well, you never know.
No, they're not. And if they are, I will give them a stern talking to, and I will wag my finger furiously.
Mainly what I do during the day, I have an alter ego of a land administrator for a major insurance company here in town. And that basically covers a lot of the things one would expect, unlocking passwords, helping users in a panic. But a lot of my job focuses on backup and recovery. Disaster recovery, and that's actually what I do a side business on.
Now, it's interesting you saying that. Backup and recovery, because I've heard that the entire nation of Japan, as well as the entire nation of the United States, and frankly, my mother, are thinking about using you and your abilities and tapping into that genius mind of yours to create a backup plan for the universe.
Well, that is just awesome. Never mind, you know, we can ignore the Americans and the Japanese. Having the endorsement of your mother.
My mother is a saint. And you know what? If she says something, if she says, this is the way it is, well, that's the way it is. And if anybody dares to argue with me, why, I will give them a stern talking to, and I will wag my finger furiously.
That's good. It sounds very much, like my own mother. Except usually I'll just send the person being naughty to my mother, and then we don't tend to see them again.
Oh,
it's funny how
they disappear
works.
Off the face of the earth,
it
do they?
It seems to be, yes.
Yes, you know, this is going quite a few years back. My mother had met Jimmy Hoffa. And then suddenly, Jimmy's not around anymore.
See? Exactly.
Yes. Don't mess with mom, folks. Just don't do it.
It's that secret mom power.
It certainly is. So you do backup and recovery for this huge, multinational, vast conglomeration.
That's right.
And I know you've got some other interests here, too. You really love your science, don't you?
I have to admit, I'm a bit of a science geek. Part of my thing is I have many interests. I'm one of these people that would probably be really good at pub trivia nights. I love astronomy. I love weather. We were talking previously about, you know, my weather-related tweets because the technology is there now and people can learn. I'm a great believer in learning.
That's fantastic. That's just fantastic. Now, I've got a little treat for you, a little surprise. A little something-something.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this all day.
This is going to be good. Now, with your kind indulgence, you and I are going to read and recreate, well, actually with you in the room, Sir Pass, this scene. Now, this scene is from The Princess Bride.
Ah, yes.
And, of course, it's with Vicini, the evil genius, and the dread pirate Roberts. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to read Vicini, and just so you know, you just might want to flip that over, because yes, there we go, there you go.
How environmentally good of you.
Well, Mom told me, and I listened.
I listened to your mother, that's
so
good.
So you're going to read Vicini, and I am going to read the dread pirate Roberts. So, ladies and gentlemen, a dramatic reading from The Princess Bride with the genius known as Stuart Clark.
So, it is down to you, and it is down to me. If you wish her dead, by all means, keep moving forward.
Let me explain.
There's nothing to explain. You're trying to kidnap what I have rightfully stolen.
Perhaps an arrangement can be reached.
There will be no arrangement, and you're killing her.
Well, if there can be no arrangement, then we're at an impasse.
I'm afraid so. I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you heard of Plato? Aristotle? Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
Really? In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
For the princess? To the death? I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine. Inhale this, but do not touch.
I smell nothing.
What you do not smell is called iocane powder. It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man. All right. I'm going to mix these glasses? All right. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide, and we both drink, and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it is so simple. All I have to divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison in his own goblet or in his enemies? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet, because he knows that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I am not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine that is in front of me.
You've made your decision then?
Not remotely, because iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows, and Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them. As you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And as you must have suspected, I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You're beaten, my giant, which means you're exceptionally... You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your strength just to save you. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied, and in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal. So you would have put the poison as far from yourself as possible. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving something away. It won't work.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will, and I choose. What in the world can that be?
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned to me. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the most classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known as this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line. Ha 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 ha.
Bravo, Stuart Clark. Bravo. Bravo. That was amazing. That, you know, Wallace Shawn, who originated that role, he's just a schmuck compared to you.
Why, thank you. And you did a fine job yourself, I may add.
Well, thank you. I've been practicing, frankly, for weeks because I've been so nervous about having the opportunity to do this with you that, well, I didn't sleep at all for the last week.
Well, I trust you will now sleep better tonight.
I will, knowing that I've witnessed the genius and the mastery of the dramatic form that is Stuart Clark. Stuart, my listeners want to know something. My listeners want to know, if I gave you a superpower, if you had could choose any superpower you wanted, what superpower would Stuart Clark choose?
I've been having to think about that one because I know you've asked some of your other guests the same question. I would think to myself, I had to decide between two, and I'm going to tell you which two I decided, and then I'll tell you which ones. I originally thought about the power of flight. Because I was a big fan of Superman when I was a kid.
And why not? You are Superman.
Why, thank you. So I thought the flying would just be a nice thing. But actually, I would love the power to be able to speak any language in the world.
Oh, do tell.
And just because the world, you know, there's so many things in the world and so many interesting people, it would be nice to be able to speak to them and also maybe find different ideas in different ways. We live in a society that we're so used to English primarily, we forget that there's hundreds of other languages. And it would be interesting to see just, you know, being able to interact with people, travel, and just speak in their dialogue.
Now, I've spoken with the Secretary General of the United Nations, and he informs me you already speak 20. So you want to use this power of language to understand more people, but I also know that NASA has been consulting you very closely on some further explorations of our solar system and frankly, the near galaxy beyond. Really, aren't they going to use you to make first contact with alien life? Isn't that right, Stuart Clark?
Well, I'm afraid I'm under a slight, you know, non-disclosure agreement about that, so I'm afraid I can't really say it. But I can certainly say, you know, Cape Canaveral and the Houston Flight Center are very nice places, and I'll let you interpret that as you will.
A man of honor keeps his word, doesn't tell what he shouldn't. Stuart Clark, you're just, well, frankly, my toes are wiggling. I'm so happy to be in the same room with you. Amazing, amazing, wonderful man. That is the force, the power. That is Stuart Clark. Stuart, I'm wondering late at night. I'm wondering late at night, and you've put in many, many weeks of hard work on something. It's late at night, and you're settled down in your bed. And tell me, what keeps Stuart Clark awake at night? What are the worries of somebody who is as gifted, as brilliant, as, frankly, you know, multilingual, and as kind-hearted as someone like Stuart Clark?
Well, I'd have to say probably a lot of the similar things that most people would have. Some of your previous guests have mentioned it. I certainly don't like seeing injustice in the world. Our political system needs a lot of work. Poverty is a big thing. My father was involved in social services for many years, so I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, I've got a little bit of a connection to that. I think basically one has to, you know, one does what they can. And there's certainly these bigger problems, but if one gives up, then the problems aren't going to get solved. So you basically have to take it one day at a time. So, you know, there are days where you have nights where you can't sleep, and you just have to say, well, we'll just tackle it on tomorrow. I'm a great believer in don't backing down. I have no problem being a pain in the ass, as many people may know.
No, it's impossible.
Well, see, they're all under NDAs too. That's basically what would keep me awake at night. But let me put it this way: in this city now, in the last 2 years, I sleep a lot better now.
That's good to know, because if you're sleeping better, I'm sleeping better too.
Excellent.
So, Stuart, I want to play a little scenario out for you.
Of course.
Here's a little scenario. You are working feverishly on solving the problem of cold fusion in your basement, as I know you are currently. Mm-hmm. And you're working away, and you have a tool, and all of a sudden with that tool you're working away, and wham, you smash your thumb. What is the exclamation? What is the swear word that comes out of Stuart Clark's mouth?
The swear word that comes out of my mouth if I smash my thumb. Probably either shit or son of a bitch.
Wow. I love those swear words. Those are good swear words. But you know what else? They actually, those are old school swear words.
They are.
And you're old school. You're a man of who really considers what he's doing. You're a man who earns the respect of, frankly, millions of people around the world. And you're a man who other people, well, they try to be like, they try to emulate Stuart Clark. Thank you so much, Stuart, for being a part and allowing me a small window of opportunity to spend time with, frankly, one of the great geniuses our planet has ever created. Thank you, Stuart.
Well, thank you, and I'm very honored to be included in your series, you know, particularly with your other guests as well. It's very nice to know them, to be associated with you, and I'm very honored to be here.
I want to thank you for listening to the podcast with the genius that is Stuart Clark. Good night and Godspeed.